Hello, everyone. I'm Sergeant Major of the Army, retired Dan Deal, and welcome to this edition of Soldier Today Podcast. Soldier Today Podcast is a production of the Non-Commissioned Officer and Soldier Programs Directorate at the Association of the United States Army. Soldier Today's subjects focus on those topics that are relevant and needed by our soldiers and their families serving the regular Army, Army National Guard, and the Army Reserve. Our newest discussion topic today is a topic that is front page on all of our minds, COVID-19, also commonly referred to as the coronavirus. How is this impacting our soldiers and their families and Army operations worldwide? For many of our listeners around the world, many of you and your families have questions and concerns about the coronavirus and how they will impact you in the weeks and months ahead. So this is a great subject to discuss, and the right leader to have the discussion with us here in our virtual studio today is our Sergeant Major of the Army, Michael A. Grinston. SMA, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Sitting here in the Pentagon, rowing hard, making sure that everybody in the Army is staying healthy and staying fit.
Before we get into the questions, I loved your tweet this morning about physical fitness out in your backyard. Look good, nice and dark, 0-500, and you're practicing distancing. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was good. Good workout. You still have to get up, and, you know, with a lot of the social distancing, doesn't mean social isolation. So staying healthy, staying active, you know, still finding ways to socialize with friends. It kind of, you know, the PT starts today, but it doesn't really. That's just a great way to start. It always has been, but you just got to change it up a little bit. And it's great.
Well, it inspired me as a man. I love to see those things, and I appreciate to keep sending them out there because it made an old soldier feel good today when I saw that tweet. I just want everybody else to know, too, that both the Sergeant Major of the Army and I are practicing social distancing. We are in two totally different states right now doing this podcast for the first time in our virtual studio with Edward Kobus, our director. I didn't want anybody to think that we're in a studio together, just feet away from each other. Yes, SMA and I are very clear of what the rules are, and we're trying to demonstrate that we're following those every day, just like everybody else has to. Isn't that right, SMA?
Yeah, it's good. We're seeing social distancing actually works, and it helps slow down the spread of this virus. So it's important we all do this, and we all have to set a good example for that.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump into the questions, SMA, if you're okay with that. I thought today we'd start with a little discussion about the impact of COVID-19 on our society and the focus of the Army to help defeat this new enemy. Many of our listeners do not know the medical research capacity of America's Army and the contributions when combating this type of new threat to our nation. What is the Army doing to defeat COVID-19?
Well, a lot of people don't know we have a medical research lab, and it's right here in the local area. It's not, you know, right downtown in the Pentagon, but it's in the local area, and we went to Fort Detrick to visit the lab. So a lot of people don't know that, but we have an Army lab that's actually trying to create a vaccine. So most of the time when we talk to these doctors, you know, we go with the prevention, and that's where we really need to go is some kind of vaccine, and we want to detect it. We're working on, like everybody else is working on, how to get better detection kits and then a cure. So as you can see, as we have our own research lab right here, we're actually working in conjunction with the CDC to develop the vaccine to do a better detection and better treatment. And that's all run out of an Army facility right here in the local area. But we also have across the nation, 9 labs as the Army, not just sending those field hospitals to New York or send a field hospital to Washington State. That's at the soldier level, but at the, you know, the enterprise level, we're still working with the lab, our Army labs for all those things, and our research developers are working on all the things that we need to prevent, treat, and detect.
Yeah, SMA, it's awesome that we have that capability within our Army. And this isn't something that's new to our Army either. I mean, this is something that the Army is very comfortable doing and has been doing for quite some time. Isn't that true?
Oh, yeah. They've been around for a long time. And we've hired great people. And one of the doctors was one of the 3 published on the coronavirus in the world. We've had this capability for a while, and we're going to continue to leverage on that capability.
Well, we appreciate that update. We appreciate what those great people for the Army are doing to help our people of our nation. Yeah.
Before we move on, you know, I want to say how proud I am for the rapid, you know, that's at the lab, but I talked about moving those folks to New York and Washington. Our medical providers that mobilized and deployed in a moment's notice to New York and Washington, they did a phenomenal job. I mean, just, okay, you're on prepared to deploy order, and we said move out, and they moved out. So this really at the ground level, the Army is doing great, and our people are what's making the difference.
Yeah, this is just a different enemy. And as we say, it's both foreign and domestic, right? So our soldiers are there to respond, and it's great to hear.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
If you don't mind, SMA, we'll change the focus of our discussion from strategic to operational and focus now on Army operations. What is Headquarters Department of the Army's guidance on balancing efforts to kill the virus while maintaining readiness and protecting the force?
You know, that's a tough balance. And most people, I get this all the time, and said, you know, we got to protect the force in order to protect the nation. So we got to balance that we've got those forces across the globe that have to be ready now. And those individuals are the mission essential. They still have to come in and they got to do some physical fitness. They're going to have to do some readiness training. And we're trying to keep that social distancing, doing, you know, small individual crews and teams for those type units. However, one thing that most people don't know is that, like Korea, when Korea created a bubble, they were allowed to do more things on their installation. What I mean by that, if the virus doesn't get into the organization, you can train a little better. And that's what we're trying to do, is make sure that the virus doesn't get into those units that we're going to need immediately. So that's how, you know, we're trying to protect the force in order to protect the nation. Still means we might have to come in order to do some small training. But our biggest goal right here is to make sure that the virus doesn't get into those units, because if it does, it could spread very quickly.
Yeah. And, you know, and the mission of the U.S. Army never stops. I mean, we're around the world and our soldiers got to continue to be ready as well as protect themselves and their families and loved ones and friends from this virus. It's a big challenge, like you said.
Most people would know, but it's always good to remind that we still have 180,000 people, soldiers right now, somewhere around the globe, not on the continental U.S. So it's important not just to protect the forces here, but also to protect the forces that are overseas and abroad.
Yeah, we got to keep those soldiers in our thoughts and prayers, too, because many of which are still in harm's way. So I'd like to focus a little bit even farther down, SMA, down to the tactical level of leadership across our Army. What is the role of sergeants and staff sergeants in the Army's response to COVID-19?
Well, right now, sometimes it depends on the location. And I already talked about some of those forces that may need to be ready sooner. So if you're at a sergeant level, you got to make sure you maintain that. But for those units not on a prepared to deploy order, and your unit is saying, hey, we need essential people to stay home, the role for the NCO, we really need the NCOs. And you heard me say it before, is distancing doesn't mean social isolation. And I've got some phenomenal stories about what our NCOs are doing. One of those was up at JBLM. They all said, well, we can't get together for PT, but we got to stay fit. So they said, post your scores for your fitness. And then the unit leadership says, okay, we're going to do a 6-mile foot march. And the winner, whoever posts the fastest time, we're going to give them an AAM. So that's just innovative ways that our NCOs are looking to keep healthy and stay fit and stay contact. So posting your fitness on some kind of medium that everybody can judge themselves. But our NCOs are also, what I need them to do is all check on their soldiers. A lot of them are doing it through Skype or FaceTime or some other way. Not to just send people a text, but they're actually, you know, looking at them 2 to 3 times a day for those folks who are staying home. And that's key, is that we don't just say stay at home. We still have an obligation to take care of our people.
Yeah, absolutely. And SMA, we've all heard you say it before, this is my squad. Whether you're with them physically or virtually, this is my squad. Isn't that true?
Yeah, absolutely. And we got a lot of great examples of our NCOs still showing ownership. And I get that feedback, you know, every day of some of the things that our NCOs, and we're going to defeat this, but you're right. This is my squad is going to take care of that.
Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate your leadership, Sergeant Major. For all of our listeners out there who are soldiers participating in operations or training across all my military installation, or in the countries you and I just talked about around the world, what would you do if you were a junior enlisted soldier and your company was still conducting large formations and company runs?
Well, they shouldn't be doing those large formations and company runs. I kind of put out a good little note on that. But, you know, just like anything you see where you think, hey, why are we doing this? You have an obligation. And that's what's great about our Army. That's what I love about the Army. anybody that says, hey, I think that's wrong, we have an obligation to say something to the higher headquarters and say, hey, look, I'm not comfortable with what we're doing. And the answer may be, we've mitigated the risk. But you should still feel comfortable at any level to say, why am I doing this? Talk to your unit leadership and just say, I don't understand. And we as the leaders have an obligation not to get upset and explain it to our soldiers on why we're doing this. For the most part, we should use our social distancing. Those large company at close interval runs should not be happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And every soldier's a sensor out there. And you're right, SMAs, it's important for them to bring concerns to the chain of command, no different than any time throughout our histories. But one important now is that we want people to feel comfortable about what they're doing. But leadership have to understand soldiers feel that way. But soldiers have to understand that leadership have a mission, too.
Absolutely.
So let's shift a little bit here to a topic that I know has affected a lot of our families out there over the summer. And COVID-19 has obviously had a big impact on the summer permanent change of station move cycle. What should soldiers do if they're stuck at stop move status or need help like financial assistance during this period?
There's a whole bunch of things you can do, but we're still working through this. So the first thing is if you have stop moved and you're in a hotel, you've shipped your household goods, and you're told you're not going to move anytime soon, you should re-sign in. You should sign back into your unit if you're still in the immediate area. You should go ahead and sign back into your unit, and then you would fill out a 1610. So we're going to keep you on. We're giving you some per diem, and we're still working on how we're going to do that. So normally, you don't file the 1610 and get your money for per diem until after it's over. And I said, well, if this goes on for a long time, how do, you know? So we're looking for ways that we could actually give them some money while they're still in the hotel and not wait till the end of this. So that's number one. They can sign back into the unit and then they can file for per diem. They just fill out the 1610 and that goes through the unit leadership. That's the first thing. Number two, you can always use the Army Emergency Relief. You know, we've looked at this and soldiers needing help, they need some immediate help with financial help. They can always file for emergency relief in the AER. The third thing is we do have a hardship pay that we're doing where if I'm not moving, but I feel like I don't feel well and I need to go to a hotel, you can actually find some funds for hardship pay to help you get a hotel because you don't want to be in your house. I know that's not PCS related. And then the last one is you can always ask to stay at your duty assignment. The ALRAC came out yesterday, and what we're saying is that maybe you don't want to go to that next duty station, and you can submit the paperwork through your chain of command and say, I would like to stay at my present duty location, because we got large numbers of folks that are going to have to move when this is over, and we got to make sure we have enough moving trucks to do this. So if you haven't shipped your household goods and you're on a stop move, you can always apply to see if you can stay at your current duty location.
So I heard there was a recent ALRAC on this. So that was it, right? SMA, the recent ALRAC on PCSs?
Yeah, that's it.
Excellent. So there's a lot of soldiers out there who are concerned about the negative impact on professional development and career progression. What has the Army done to ensure COVID-19 does not negatively impact career progression for our NCOs?
Well, for certain groups, for the advanced leader course and the senior leader course, we suspended the select, train, and educate promote policy. So they will be promoted on time if they have the appropriate promotion points or if they're in their sequence number so they don't have to go to school. That's what we've done for those two cohorts in the middle. In the beginning, for the basic leader course or at the top end, the master leaders course, we still believe that we can conduct those courses distributed through Blackboard.com. So we'll run those classes. They're going to start for the first time in April. So it's going to be an all online course where the instructors will be in the Blackboard and it'll be just like the regular classroom. They got a chat feature in there. I think they have a video conference in there. We're still working on getting the video up on Blackboard.com. What we've done prior to this is that units have already done social distancing in the classroom and some VTC capability We'll take Italy, for example. Italy actually VTC'd into 7th Army Training Center up in Grafenwöhr to conduct their basic leader course. So we suspended STEP for ALC and SLC, and we're doing blackboard.com for BLC and MLC. So we can make sure that our soldiers are still promoted on time.
Yeah, that's an excellent use of our time, too. It's like you said, when we're practicing social distancing and we have that digital capability, it's great the Army can maximize those capabilities to continue our progression of our non-commissioned officers.
Yeah, and you know, if you're at, you know, stay at home, what better way to stay at home than it is to go out and knock out that required basic leader course?
Well, Mr. Grinson, you have the opportunity to see and talk to thousands of soldiers and leaders each week. Many of these soldiers and leaders are doing some really incredible things for our Army and our nation. What is the most inspiring thing that you've seen so far responding to this virus?
The quick mobilization of our medical folks. It's incredible. You know, us older guys, we've been to Iraq, Afghanistan, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, Somalia, somewhere in combat. And, you know, when the bullets are flying, you're saying, hey, I'm going in. And that's exactly what our health providers and our soldiers said. Not one complaint. I didn't get any notes. I didn't get anything. And they said, hey, put me in the game. And they're going right there into that brush of fire, just like you've seen in the combat of the movie. But this time, it's an invisible enemy. And it's even harder to see and detect. And to me, that is just inspiring to know that our soldiers, you know, willing to do that. And the second one is the overwhelming amount of people when we sent out, you know, requests for the, you know, if you're on the inactive reserve, you know, would you like to join? We've had thousands of people say, I'd like to come back in. I want to, you know, I want to help with this. So that's really inspiring. Now we need those. We need medical folks, but we also need them to be currently up on their credentials. So those two things are really inspiring to see the volumes of people that have volunteered to try and come back in to help combat this virus. But our health professionals working day and night, whether they're trying to get a vaccine or just going up there to help where we have these hot spots, it's incredible. And we're going to need them to do even more as the weeks come up.
Yeah, the operating environment is changing, Sergeant Major, but that's still at the forefront of the battlefield. And like you said, this is an invisible enemy. It's a little bit different than when you and I went to Iraq and Afghanistan, but still just as courageous, just as courageous. In many cases, soldiers will have a lot of time on their hands. So that's a reality now. And based upon the current situation, what are some of the things that our soldiers can do during this time to further develop themselves and help maintain their individual readiness?
Well, like, you know, I alluded to, they can do their PME, but there's also credentialing, and we got some credentialing online. You got college classes you can do online. So anything that you can do to increase your capacity as an NCO, those are the two right off the bat. Like I said, and like you were talking to in the tweet, you know, you got to stay fit. You got to stay active. Healthy, active body and active mind will help us get through this.
Yeah, absolutely. And that level of fitness, you know, helps your immune system. So it's a protecting agent. You know, it's just like your armor that you wear in a battle. Your physical fitness is everything. And it's the best way to start your day. And I'll tell you, SMA started his day today doing the right thing. So SMA, I got to ask you a question. Of course, we're all on social media and I've been on social media. I've been hearing a lot about relaxed grooming standards during this whole epidemic. So what's going on and what's the standard?
Well, the standards haven't changed yet. So we're continuously going to look at what our standards are and what they're going to be. But, you know, I remind everybody, we're a large organization that spans the globe. And what is a standard? You know, first of all, there's the Army standard. But we need to allow the senior commander in that location to make that determination. But that doesn't mean we're not going to change it later. But right now, in some locations, the barbershops are closed. In other locations, the barbershops are still open. And I'll give you an example is Korea. I asked several times, I said, are your barbershops still open? And they said, yeah, they are. Now, that was probably about 3 or 4 days ago. But when I asked them, I said, well, how'd you do that? Well, we did some social distancing. Every other chair is not manned by a person cutting hair. They wear a mask. In accordance with the Surgeon General, that's appropriate guidance is that when they cut your hair, they clean the clippers. Next person comes up and they cut the hair. But other places, they have closed the barbershop. So right now, I don't want to actually go ahead and, you know, do an Army-wide policy and then let the commanders for those locations that have determined, you know, they need to relax the grooming standards to let them do their job as senior commanders and not put a policy that restricts them in any way.
Yeah, that's right. Because it is going to be different, right? And it's situation dependent. I would have never even thought of that. But now that you brought it up, it could be a problem, you know, with the barbershops open, a lot of people congregating around those, as you know, they have in the past.
This could go on for a little while. It could go on for longer, but we will constantly assess where we're at as an Army to ensure that, you know, we got this right. But again, we don't want to restrict the commander by giving a policy at the Army level and allow them to make those decisions at their level.
Absolutely. So, Estimate Grinson, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. And we could talk to you about a million subjects, and we're going to have you on again. But before we go, as always, I'd like to give you the last words. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to provide to our listeners and our soldiers out there?
Once again, I just want to tell you, for everybody, not just our health professionals, but all our soldiers, this is tough times. And I know this is hard. And I know we can get through this. We have to be disciplined. We have to do what our leaders are telling us to do. We have to trust that our leaders are doing whatever we need to protect the force. But that second piece is to protect the nation. And I can't overstate this, how important that is, that we can't just forget about our obligation to protect the nation. So I'm extremely proud of what our soldiers are doing. They're staying home. They're staying active. They're finding ways to stay fit. They're finding ways to stay healthy, both physically and mentally. And I'm extremely proud of every soldier in the United States Army.
Well, well said, SMA. Well, unfortunately, our time has come to an end to close this edition of Soldier Today podcast. All of us here at the Association of the United States Army want to thank Sergeant Major of the Army Grinston and all of his soldiers as they join us today for this insightful discussion on COVID-19. We can all be proud of the innovation and the initiative of the United States Army, along with its many leaders, soldiers, and Army civilians dedicated to serving and protecting our nation and its people.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Monday with a brand new episode of Army Matters with Army Real Talk. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.